Welcome to the NewsHour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is John Carton. Not a household name, but it will be when this program is over. It should be, because of what happened to him, and he contacted me because of my writing, and as soon as I heard it, I knew I wanted to get him on the air. John is a private attorney. He has extensive legal experience. After he acted on behalf of Sunbelt Water, Inc., the governments of Canada and British Columbia attacked him, his law practice, his personal welfare. Why? For trying to expose the misconduct of government lawyers and judges. So what did they do? You know, absolve the bad guys and go after the good guys. That's the way the system works. So they went after John. They filed bogus criminal charges against him, but he was never disbarred or suspended. I believe John cannot practice law in British Columbia, but neither disbarment nor suspension happened. So at issue is the water war between Canada and the U.S. It involves powerful insiders. At stake is billions of dollars through illegal investments in bulk water exporting, in the bulk water exporting business. Just a sidebar, because I've written about two other lawyers, Lynn Stewart. Lynn's been on this program a couple of times before they jailed her. She's in a federal New York jail now, awaiting final sentencing. She got 28 months. It's being reviewed. Hopefully it'll be no more. Be wonderful if it turned out to be less. I doubt it. We'll talk more about Lynn in a future program. And another man who I discovered, Paul Berggren, he defended four Iraqi soldiers. We had a program about him. I'm going to have another one about him. He was a powerful prosecutor, and he became a very prominent defense attorney in New Jersey. He defended four Iraqi soldiers who were framed to take the fall for their cover-ups, who were the real criminals, starting with a colonel in charge of the battalion these guys were in. These were young kids. They get orders, they follow it. They killed Iraqis, Iraqi civilians. Most Iraqis killed over there are civilians. So killing an Iraqi means you're going to kill a civilian. They followed orders, and they're hung out to dry, serving long sentences in federal prison. Hard time. Hard time. Serious hard time. Never should have happened. Paul wanted to go after the big boys. He wanted to go all the way to the top, at least to Donald Rumsfeld, maybe above him, only one step above him. But that's what he wanted to do. And he's a skilled attorney. He knows how to do his job. So because of that, he was targeted. He's now, he's been charged with outrageous crimes. Murder, racketeering. They want to put him away forever. He's in a federal jail. Lynn is in New York, in Manhattan. Paul is in Brooklyn. And I don't think his trial date has been scheduled yet. But if they convict him, he could get the death penalty for doing his job. That's right, for doing his job. Two innocent lawyers sitting in prison. We'll let John explain just what his status is now and what's happening. But John, I welcome you to the program. I took the whole first short segment because I wanted to set the table very well before you come on. I welcome you to the program.
Well, John, good morning, Steve, and thank you very much for that introduction. I think that puts it very well. How you said that.
Oh, I wanted to explain it well. The music needs a break. Let's take it, come back, and I'll let you tell your story. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm on with John Carton. John, I want you to tell your story. You've got some information on the website you alerted me to. Let me give it to listeners. They can go to the site and get some information about you and about this story. It's called waterwarcrimes.com. That's pretty simple to remember. Waterwarcrimes.com. But tell listeners your story. Explain just exactly what they put you through.
Oh, well, it began back in 1992-93 when I was first retained by a couple of companies that were in a joint venture to export water from Canada to California. Their business plan had been thwarted by the government of British Columbia changing its policy. So back at that time, the government of British Columbia was actively encouraging the export of water in the late 80s to the early 90s. They were trying to develop the industry. And my clients were a small company on Vancouver Island near where I was living at that time, which is a town called Comox. And the other joint venture partner was Sunbelt Water from Santa Barbara. At that time, there was a very severe drought in the Santa Barbara area. And they were looking to ways to solve the water problems, and one of the plans was to ship water by oil tankers, cleaned-up oil tankers from British Columbia to California. And the government was actively encouraging that venture, but what we didn't know, what my clients didn't know, was that behind the scenes the government had actually selected a company to get the contract. And so my clients came to see me in 92, 93, and we didn't have much of an idea about what was going on with the competing company at that time. And we started the litigation at that time, and things went slow for a while. We were doing background investigation to try to figure out what was going on. And then as things started to heat up, At one point, the government realized that I was in a situation, a personal situation with my ex-wife. I was in the courts, so they started putting their agents in the bench, on the bench in the courts. They put in former deputy attorney generals to sit on my case. At that time, when they came in, I didn't even know that there had been a deal between the attorney general's office and his private company, and so I was a bit mystified as to why the judgments were turning out so badly in my divorce. My wife got all of my assets, and I was left with all of the debts. And the judge said he lied about me. He actually said things about me which were false, that I didn't pay any income taxes, etc., which caused a problem with the law society, but that was rectified because I had paid lots of taxes. And I didn't really understand what that was all about until, oh, a year, year and a half later, when all of a sudden a third party who was not connected to the government or to my own issues or my clients said, hey, did you know that the government had a secret contract with your client's competitor and it was signed by the people in the attorney general's office? And I said, no, I don't believe they did, because they've already disclosed to me their contracts. And he insisted that they had a better, a favorable agreement. And then he had a copy and he gave it to me. And when I saw that, the lights went on in my head. And that's when I blew the whistle on the two judges who sat on my divorce case and said, look, these guys were acting improperly. They shouldn't have been there. They had a conflict of interest because their interest was to cover up that secret agreement. Well, then it just got worse after that. In the litigation with Sunbelt and in the courts, what the government did was it settled and paid off the Canadian company, promised to settle with Sunbelt, but when they realized they had me behind the eight ball, they changed their plans and dragged out litigation, and they started to lie in court. They filed false affidavits and information, false documents. When I saw that stuff in the court proceedings, I said to the judge, I said, this is not true. Their interpretation of these agreements and what they're saying cannot be possibly correct. And the judge sort of smirked and said, well, that's just your opinion, Mr. Carton. So the case was stopped in about 1999. The case stalled. There's an explanation for that. But about 2 years later, in 2001, around the same time I was put in jail for 40 days, and I'll explain that. But about 2 or 3 years later, in 2002 or three, we acquired the files of the company. I didn't acquire them, but a colleague of mine acquired them. He acquired all the files of the company that the government had a secret contract with, because the company had gone into bankruptcy, and he went and talked to the fellow who bought the assets, and it was like a scene out of a movie. We went to a warehouse which was filled with pallets of boxes, and there were two pallet loads of cardboard boxes which had all of the internal files of this company that the government was favoring, called Western Canada Water. And in there, I found the proof that the government lawyers had been lying to the court. And, of course, I pushed that forward, trying to get the Law Society to open up an investigation of the government lawyers, and they refused to do that. And at that time, I had withdrawn from the practice of law in 1999. Now, in 1998, the Attorney General reported me to the Law Society to attempt to have me disbarred or suspended because I was allegedly being discourteous to other lawyers by accusing them of improper conduct. And what I was doing was accusing the Attorney General's office of breaking the law. And they were. There's no question about it. They broke not only the local domestic laws here in the province of British Columbia, which was the Water Act, but they were also breaking the General Agreement of Trade and Tariffs and the Free Trade Agreement. And we've got those documents that prove that now. At any rate, the Law Society didn't disbar me, but there was quite a lot of pressure at that time for me to see a psychiatrist. And I said to them, well, look, I can't just go see a psychiatrist. I need a recommendation from my doctor, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, well, would you talk to your doctor? And I talked to my doctor, and he said, look, John, he said, I have all kinds of patients, and you're the last guy that needs to see a psychiatrist. I won't recommend it.
Why do they want you to see a psychiatrist, John?
That's what you call a setup.
I'm sure it was a setup. In other words, if you have the chutzpah to go after powerful criminals, they think you're nuts.
Well, maybe I should have seen a psychiatrist then, but on that basis. But that's what you call a setup.
I'm being facetious, John. You go after the powerful, they'll charge you with they'll throw the kitchen sink at you, obviously, which they did.
Yeah.
But that came
back to haunt me. That came back to haunt me a little bit a few years later when I applied to reenter. I'll tell you that story. So that was a suspension. I'll go right to that. A few years later, when I applied to reenter in 2005, after I had found all the proof that the Attorney General's lawyers had been breaking the law, I'll give that to the Law Society. They could do an investigation. And then when I apply to reenter, I'll say, well, look, I know the last time you weren't happy I said these things about people at the government, but here's all the proof, so just give me my ticket. And everything was in order. I had all my accounts were in order, and my filings had all been in order, and I straightened out a few things that were left undone, and there was no problem with that. And then they said, no, first thing we want you to do is see a psychiatrist. And I said, what for? And they said, well, we think you should see a psychiatrist. And I said, well, wait a minute. I don't mind seeing a psychiatrist. How about one in Seattle? They said, no. In California, no, we want you. So, just before I withdrew, and I could see a setup coming, and I saw that as a setup, because I was fortunate enough to witness two cases where two other lawyers in this province had blown the whistle on government corruption, which involved the judiciary. And you have to remember, in Canada, we have an appointed judiciary. They're not elected. They're appointed by the politicians. And there were two other lawyers I know who were discredited through psychiatric reports. And at the same time, I contacted a prominent psychiatrist here in British Columbia and asked him if he could assist me if I went through an assessment. And he said, well, how could I assist you? And I said, well, what I'd like you to do is audit any assessment that they do of me. And he said, well, that's a very good thing to do, Mr. Carton. And why would you like it audited? And I said, well, I'd like it audited just to make sure that they're following scientifically valid procedures when they assess me to determine whether I'm fit to practice law. And he said, that's a very reasonable request, Mr. Carton, but unfortunately, psychiatry has not advanced to the stage where they can assess you as to whether you're fit to practice law. All they can do is a standard diagnostic series of tests. And so when he told me that, I realized that their whole strategy was to put me into the hands of their psychiatrist, who would write a report exactly the way they wanted it. As a matter of fact, I talked to another local lawyer at the time, and he said, look, John, he said, the psychiatric report on you is already written. They're just waiting for you to show up for an interview so they can fill in the dates and times of the assessment. Oh, now, that's where my law status is that I'm eligible to practice law, but they won't grant me the ticket unless I agree to a psychiatric assessment. And I've said, well, I'll go to one in Seattle or California, even in another province in Canada.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Welcome back on with John Carton. John, just a quick comment. In the U.S., federal judges are appointed. States do whatever they want to do. In my own state of Illinois, they're elected. And I don't know personally, but I was told, I have a friend of mine whose good friend is running to be a judge, and she is one of the good ones if she gets elected. She probably won't because she's one of the good ones. She wants to be an honest judge and do her job right. So if you ever came before her, you wouldn't have any kind of problem, or she wouldn't allow any problem. But that's another story. Let me let you continue.
Okay. Now, what I was just explaining the use of psychiatrists was an attempt by the Law Society to block my reentry into the legal profession, and I've seen it done in other cases here in Vancouver, British Columbia. And it's very artful, and there's some psychiatrists who you ask them to write an opinion, and they'll write whatever you ask them to write, especially if they work for certain people who are connected to certain institutions. At any rate, that's blocked my reentry into the legal profession in the province of British Columbia, where I practiced for 22 years, and where I have clients who occasionally phone me up and say, when are you going to get your ticket back, because I'd like to hire you, and that process has stopped me from moving forward. It's also stopped me from being able to pay my my ex-wife the child support that I owe her, which I was paying her until the Law Society, the government, destroyed my law practice. And through their garnishment processes, when I fell into arrears a time back, they just destroyed my business. They garnished every client they could get. I didn't have a cash flow at all. They garnished every bank account I had. I told them, look, they're destroying the goose that lays the golden egg. They got to leave off or my wife and children won't be able to get any child support. They lifted my driver's license, and you have to understand that I was living in a rural area and need a driver's license to move around. Took my passport away. They put me in jail for 40 days. that's when I decided I had to get out of British Columbia because they were threatening to put me in jail again. And jail's not a great place to be, you know. I don't know if you know about Canadian jails. They're not too bad, but there are a few people that had to leave the jails in an ambulance when I was there. And I might say that most of the prisoners were fine people, but there's a few things you have to worry about. So it's not a great place to be. So I decided to get out of the province of British Columbia in 1999 and move to the province of Alberta. And, you know, they actually pursued me into Alberta. They were making false statements about me to the government there. They accused me of being violent. I don't have any history of violence whatsoever, but once they put that on your record in a government document, that creates an image in the minds of people in the government. And that came forward. The most recent thing was I had a court hearing where I was going to in 2007, and when I went in, there were three armed sheriffs. Now, what you have to understand is I'm the only person in that courtroom. It's a hearing about me and about my the money that I owe my ex-wife, which is now about $400,000. They had three sheriffs, fully armed. They did a full-body search when I went in. Now, I've never been searched before in my life going into a courtroom. So when I tried to find out who did that, I couldn't get anywhere with the sheriffs. They stonewalled. And then I made some inquiries with one of the persons I suspected who was involved, and lo and behold, it turns out that she was involved back in 1999, 98, in the Sunbelt Water stuff inside the government. And I smelled a rat, you know. And I said she had been the deputy to the premier at that time. And they had basically sent fraudulent correspondence across the border to Sunbelt, and I smelled a rat, so I got a hold of that gal, and I said, look, you should go to the police because there's a criminal investigation going on in these matters, and I think you were involved, and you might get arrested going across the border because this is cross-border fraud, but you go down to the police department in Victoria. I've asked them to investigate the fraud that went on by the government, and there's an ongoing investigation, and you should see. And I gave her the name of the police officer. Well, did I ever make a mistake doing that? Because the next thing I knew, one day when I was in the courthouse in Kelowna, which is about 1,000 miles from Victoria, British Columbia, and I was living in Kelowna at the time, three sheriffs came up, and they arrested me, put me in cells. And I didn't know what it was until they served me with the papers, and I was charged with criminal harassment. Criminal harassment? I was writing what I suspected was a criminal, told her to go to the police and cooperate with a police investigation. The police had an ongoing investigation of those files, not this particular lady, and they didn't ask her one question about the investigate. They laid a charge against me for criminal harassment. Well, that was, I think that's the most bizarre. Someone who's a suspected criminal to go and cooperate with the police investigation because they could be in big trouble, and then they charge you with it's harassing a criminal, not criminal harassment. Anyway, that a year of my life.
Hello? We need to take another break. Yeah, this is shocking stuff. Even though I've written about two cases where extraordinary people were maliciously targeted, I'm starting to get inured to the fact that people like you can have the hammer come down on you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Galt. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs where you can trade your Jacksons for top quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Welcome back on with John Carton. Talking about how when a good lawyer does his job and tries to expose crimes and happens to go after powerful people, whether it's in America or Canada, and certainly maybe most any place else, you're really playing with fire. You can get yourself in a lot of trouble. And John, you're telling a shocking story. I hope listeners are paying very close attention, because this kind of thing can happen to anybody, whether it's a lawyer like you or whether it's somebody. My God, I mean, I do a lot of writing, John. I host this program. I have another one day a week, and I have this kind of programming on all the time. I want to go after the most important topics. I don't care how controversial, quote-unquote, in the view of some others. I do the same thing in my writing. I turn out a lot of it. I want people to know the truth about what's going on the most important issues. So maybe one of these days, people I lump them together and refer to them as the dark forces. Maybe those dark forces will come after me and make outrageous charges and try to do to me some of what they're trying to do to you. But if we don't fight back, John, then these people will get away with all they're doing, a whole lot more. And I'm not good at forecasting the future, but based on what I do, it's not that hard for me to look ahead and see exactly what they're up to. As bad as they've made things right now, they want to make it a lot worse. And very sadly, your country is an appendage of mine. It's certainly the 51st state. It's gotten worse over the years. And Paul Hopper is like the 51st governor. I mean, he basically is following the same path as what's happening down here, and so many other countries are doing the same thing. I mean, this is very dangerous. They have a very unpleasant world they have in mind for us, unless we can figure out a way to stop them. So your experience is just one example of so much more that they will do to millions, billions of people around the world. Oh, let me let you continue with your story.
I think you're right, Steve, and one of the ways they can do it in individual cases is through the court system, because they can engineer what judge sits on a particular case, and, you know, these judges, they're appointed in Canada, and so they're elected in the U.S. Often they owe their jobs to other people, because they've had to do favors for people to get those jobs, and when they're on the bench, they have to do favors again. Now, in my case, I've mentioned some of the problems that happened to me, and I'll describe that prosecution against me and how that went. I was acquitted. We did get a fair judge eventually, but there was a lot of squawking and things I had to do to get that. But I wanted to just say also that at the time, a lot of this happened. I was I had a relationship with a lady friend, a single mom, and she had a couple of kids. She had three kids, and she had, when I was destitute and they had taken my practice away from me and et cetera, she offered me a place for a while, and I was able to pay her some rent as I tried to dig myself out of the hole. But they also went after her in various court cases that she was involved in, and they took some of her property away, her assets. And then I met with another lawyer up here, a fellow named Jack Cram, who had blown the whistle before I did in 94, and he was destroyed too, and I sort of compared notes with him, and he asked me one time, he said, John, did you notice that some of your cases started going sideways when you'd be acting for people? Because as a lawyer, you know, when you're acting for someone, you pretty well know what the result is going to be if you present all the evidence, and if you've got a good case, And when a judge goes sideways on you, you often wonder, what the heck was that all about? And looking back, once I got involved with this water case, there were a number of law cases where I was involved where the clients didn't get justice. And I think they were fixed against my client because I was the lawyer. And a couple of times I had to explain to people what happened, and they said, well, John, we don't blame you whatsoever. We know something was going on. And that's a terrible, terrible indictment of a justice system where, because a lawyer is acting on one case where he's doing his job, his clients on other cases are sabotaged. And so that's just going on now in Canada and in different places. And I've also met another lawyer, a fellow named Carl Eisbrenner. And Carl was blowing the whistle on government corruption in British Columbia, which again included a member of the judiciary or a couple of members, and they just destroyed him, and he was destroyed. He's dead now. He died in a car accident, but he was broken after that. He just was totally unprepared for what happened to him in the justice system in Canada, from the government and the law society. And I went and met him and explained to him how the process worked, and he said to me, he thanked me, this was before he died, he thanked me very much for explaining what was going on, because he just didn't understand it. And I explained to him how they select certain judges for certain cases and who they are and how they do it, and he was very grateful for that. So we really have a serious problem in Canada. And on the particular case I'm involved in, it all has to do with water, which, as you know, is a huge issue.
It's a big, big issue.
United States.
John, I think the two most valued commodities that Canada has and America wants are oil and water, two very big items.
Well, I agree with you that the water is a big item in the U.S. It's not a big item in Canada. I mean, there's a couple of places in Canada who need to manage their water properly, but
you have
Canada's
plenty,
basically covered in water.
You have plenty of it, John, and we need more than we have, so we want what you have. We want access to your water.
That's right, and the negotiation that's going on is there's people in Canada who want to figure out how they're going to put the money in their pocket, and I'm sure there's people in the United States who are looking at the same thing, and they're saying, well, how are we going to engineer this water flow between Canada and the U.S. so that the money goes into our pockets, and that's what's going on, if you want to call it that, or the war that's going on between Canada and the United States right now.
And John, one more thing.
Water in Canada is basically worthless.
One more thing too. They want everything privatized. They want water. So there's a public utility in Chicago, for example. And, you know, I live in a condominium, so the condominium pays whatever taxes involved, and I pay an assessment. But, you know, I have water. I don't have to buy water from anybody. I don't buy bottled water at the market. So, I mean, all the water I get out of the tap. That's my water. They want to privatize it. There are cities that have their water systems privatized, put in the hands of private companies who raise the price, make it unaffordable for some people. Instead of providing a service, all they want to do is jack up the price and make every buck they can. So the ultimate aim is to have the whole system privatized, and their dream would be to have every country, every city in the U.S., every state, everything privatized, so they can make untold billions of dollars, and people will have to suffer because who can afford the price of their water? But if you can't afford it, then you don't get it. I mean, that's the ultimate scheme. And the potential is, I think, maybe in the long run, even greater than oil.
Oh, probably in the long run for Southern California and those in the south of the U.S. I mean, your science man, Obama's science man, said a few months ago that he didn't know what would happen if they didn't get extra water in California. He said they'd probably have to abandon the cities.
Oh, absolutely.
Coming out of his mouth.
And imagine just for us consumers, I mean, if push comes to shove, we can live without oil, but we sure can't live without water.
But, you know, there was an example of a great water project in the 50s between Canada and the United States, which was public, and that was the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was a public enterprise, which facilitated private business. I mean, the private profits that, as a result of that public investment, the private enterprise in the central heartland of the United States and Canada just boomed because of that development. And I foresee that if the public enterprise builds a western water seaway from Alaska and British Columbia down to California and Mexico, that public enterprise would spur private profits, investments, but it would be, shared among the people. It's not, you wouldn't want one guy to own the whole waterway. It should be a public enterprise. And I foresee that someday that's probably going to happen. It basically has to happen.
But John, this is serious. Can I give you an analogy? We've always had bankers run the show in most countries around the world. But it was made official 2 days before Christmas in the U.S. in 1913 when the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and in the middle of the night, but it didn't really make it. Most congressmen were never read it, where a lot of them had left for Christmas. They kind of snuck this in the middle of the night, but it didn't make any difference anyway because clever people, lawyers, of course, write these laws. And if you read the Federal Reserve Act, you'd have no idea what the heck they really had in mind. But ever since that act was passed, the bankers have basically owned the country incrementally more every single year. We've had 20 recessions, the Great Depression, that the horrendous crisis we're going through now, that is certainly not over. The worst of it may be beginning. And all because we gave these private bankers the right to print and control the nation's money supply. So we privatized the money system, and they've wrecked the economy. They've made fortunes for themselves. They've harmed people. We in our country, John, we had a history going back to the colonial days where the states were independent. They ran their own money. They created their own money. They called it script. I've written a little about it. I've had programs with an author of a great book who explained it greatly. They had 25 years of low inflation prosperity, and they didn't need an income tax because the prosperity took care of everything. You privatize the water system, I mean literally privatize it the way the banks have privatized the money creation system, and you're going to do the same thing to water that the bankers have done to money, and the public will pay for it dearly as a result. So they want to do this.
I hear what you're saying exactly, and that's a big issue. And I know that's an issue for a lot of Canadian people, that they they see that coming, and that's something that has to be dealt with. But from a practical point of view, Steve, I think you would agree in that there's a great need for water in the U.S. and in Mexico, northern Mexico. And from a humanitarian point of view, it seems that Canada's surplus, which flows into the ocean in huge, huge amounts, could you could divert some of that to places where it could be used. And how you control that, whether that's a private enterprise or a public enterprise, that's another debate. And probably on a big, on large scale, I tend to think that public enterprises for those large-scale utility-type developments are usually fine.
Well, I'm all in favor of a public enterprise, and to me, an easy way to solve that problem would be let Canada send its surplus water to us, and we've got stuff that Canada wants. We, in turn, can send that to Canada. Could be a wonderful way to have reciprocal trade. But you turn this over to private operatives, and this is their foot in the door. I mean, if this thing gets big, and it probably will, this will be their foot in the door, and it'll be on to more and more until their ultimate aim, I mean, total control over water, including to you and me, to drink the stuff. I mean, that worries me a great deal. These people know no bounds. They want everything in the hands of giant corporate predators, and not a whole lot of them operating locally, by cities, by provinces, by states down here. I mean, they want a small number of oligopolists running all major industries, including this one. So they literally have a chokehold on what's going to be done and not being done, and they're able to maximize profits and get every last buck they can out of it at the expense of ordinary people, and more of them won't be able to afford what they have. They're already doing this in some developing countries where people simply can't afford to pay for privatized water.
Yeah, I'm quite aware of some of those developments that's been happening, and it's you know, it's a funny thing. But the first thing you do when you have a community is you find your water supply, and as a community, you set it up so that you take the water from the upstream and you put the refuse downstream. And as a general community, that's a community thing, and probably in the large community nationwide, it should be a community thing also.
Oh, it absolutely should. I mean, there are some things that are more than products or commodities. They're human rights. If water is not a human right, John, then what in the hell is it?
Well,
okay. food is a human right too, but you know, we don't have the right to get a free lunch on everything. Only bankers get a free lunch, John, at our expense.
That's the only guys used, are getting any free.
A phrase used by a great economist I have on this program. He refers to a free lunch. Shouldn't be a free lunch, but they get it. I call it a criminal act, which of course is what it is. But we ought to support ourselves, but there are some people who can't afford it, so they do need a little bit of help, and I'm all in favor of that. Certainly to
well,
be able to get water,
the
which everybody needs.
Is governments, no, governments are under the control of certain people, not the electorate.
That is for sure. We get the best democracy money can buy down here, and so do you. So do you. I mean, the system is so corrupted that we get permanent wars, John. We get the corporate predators getting licensed to do anything they want. I call Washington a wholly owned subsidiary of Wall Street because it is. It is. I mean, we've got officials in the government, former Wall Street types. They're running the power stuff. The war hawks run the defense stuff all the way through government. And it's a revolving door, John. I'm sure up in Canada, too. Industry people come into government, take jobs affecting their own industries, and then they go back to big-time jobs where they came from, either their past companies or a new one, and the thing just keeps recycling all over again, and ordinary people pay the price. It's why programs like this need to expose these guys.
Well, that's right. That's kind of outside my expertise. I understand what you're saying, and I see that water issue fits into that debate because there is a big issue, no question about it. you're going to have to raise huge amounts of capital to build the systems to deliver from Canada to the United States. And then the people, you know, when it gets down there, it's basically a human right. It's got to be managed in a way that you're not gouging the consumers. And that's basically what was going to happen when Sunbelt and Snowcap up here were competing to ship water to Goleta.
We got a break again, John. Let's do that. Come right back. Final segment.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Final segment with John Carton. John, let me let you, we have a few minutes left, let me let you finish up with some final comments, anything that you haven't covered so far that you think is important.
I just want to make a couple of comments, Steve. One thing about the water is different than any other product is because it's not made by man. There's nothing that men do to water, or humanity does to water, to make it usable, except maybe clean it up a little if it's dirty. But it falls out of the sky, so it's basically free. It's not like oil, which you have to drill for and find, or minerals that you have to pull out of the ground and extract and crush, etc., etc. So basically water is free where it falls from the sky. Mother Nature provides it. And the only issue for humanity is to find delivery systems. And that's what makes it difficult for the monopolist to take it over, because it's so transparent. Water is transparent in itself, but the whole process is transparent. You can see the water in a huge lake in British Columbia, and you know nobody made that water. There's no price on it. Just provided by Mother Nature for free. And what are you going to charge someone in California for water from Canada when the Canadians didn't make it, manufacture it, or putting any effort into it? And that's a real conundrum that they have to face. Now, going back to what happened with the Sunbelt case was, as I told you, the government of British Columbia and the Canadian government were supporting a competitive company to Sunbelt through a secret agreement which had secretly given them the monopoly on water exports. Sunbelt didn't realize that until the last minute when their contract with Goleta was canceled by the interference from the government. But the difference in price between the two groups was illustrative of the problem. The monopolists were going to charge Goleta $150 million for a contract over 7 years, whereas Sunbelt had worked out its pricing down to about $105 million over 7 years. And the reason for that was the monopolists needed to take more money out to pay off all their people, whereas Sunbelt and Snowcap were just small companies, and if they made a few million bucks a year on the contract, that's pretty good for a small company. And that was the difference in price. It was $50 million difference in price on a $100 million contract. And that fits into your argument that these some of these corporate elite fellows, they don't want to provide things at the lowest price. They want to get the effect of monopoly so they can gouge the consumer. And so that's where it's at on that.
Well, there's no question about that, John, and they want more as well. If, for example, if infrastructure had to be built from Canada to the U.S. for transport purposes, the profiteers would want the government to pay for building the infrastructure and then literally give it to them so they could use it free, just the way the big auto companies in the 1950s got the Eisenhower administration to build the interstate highway system. At the time, one of the rationales was for national defense. National defense? Highways? What nonsense. It was for the big auto companies, so people would have these beautiful highways, and they'd go out and buy cars. So government provides the subsidies, and in this country they do it to every single sector, some more than others. But they get all this money, our tax dollars, and then the profiteers make big money off of it. So water will be no different. What a system. Oh, we're out of time, John. That music means we're out of time. I thank you so much for coming on. This is big stuff for me. I write often on how the government attacks people and imprisons them, even though they're innocent of all offenses. I will stay on this, John. I promise you that. And again, my great thanks for coming on today.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve. It's a pleasure to speak to you and have the opportunity to explain these issues to your listeners.
And stay tuned for Ernie Hancock and join us again tomorrow.